Oh my goodness, this took me months to get out. I'm so sorry about that, because this was a truly, truly, truly great conversation with Mr. Lee Six, who is Associate Dance Supervisor for Lion King, the musical, worldwide, and she's also, as she will tell you, in as you will hear in the episode, that she's resident dance supervisor in London, which was my first company when I started Lion King, and I'm thrilled that they have her. She's fantastic, and I have a lot of time for her. We could have talked. We probably should have started recording the minute the conversation started. But of course, you know, the beauty of hindsight, and this is now a month ago. This whole episode was recorded a few weeks before my child was born, and so, you know, it's obviously been pandemonium, but here it is, better late than never. But also, it's still the conversation is still poignant. The conversation still hits, you know, for theater people who love theater. I actually really enjoyed having this conversation. I hope we can actually get together again in the future and see where we're all at theater wise and, you know, because the theaters are reopening. The world is slowly coming back to normal, and so theaters are reopening, and a lot of my former colleagues and friends are getting back to work, and there's some interesting stuff happening here in Germany, with Hamilton opening next year. What they're talking about, yes, middle to the end of next year, somewhere on there, I think, if I stand to be corrected. And in Stuttgart, Dance of the Vampires, Tanz der Vampire, as they would say in Germany, that's open, and they've been doing shows. The Lion King is reopened in Hamburg, so, you know, there's shows about, you know, and I will do my best and reach through my contacts to get as many theater people as I can, because these conversations are great. Some of you may or may not know, we are doing a GoFundMe for this podcast, and it also affects the Rugby Run Unfelt pod. Any little bit helps, just so that I can put out a more polished product and devote more time to it, and really make a go of this, because I really enjoy doing these podcasts. But for now, I really hope you enjoy listening to this episode with Celise. We had a lot of fun, and enjoy. I would like to welcome, she's now a friend of mine, she's been my boss, Miss Celise Hicks, the resident dance supervisor of Lion King London and worldwide dance supervisor for the Lion King musical. Now, people don't now go, oh, they didn't dance in the movie. Well, no shit. it was animated, the first one, and the second one was live action. But it's so great to have Celise here, because Celise is, I say this, and I've said this just before we started recording, a huge part of why I got through the last 2.5 to 3 years of the contracts I did, talking about just being present in your moments. And Ms. Hicks, welcome to the Network 1012. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here, and so good to catch up with you, because it's been a minute since I've seen you.
It has. I mean, it's been, I left the show 2018 in January. And I do miss it. I miss the colleagues. I do miss the show. There are moments. I had a moment, you know, towards the end of last year, the year before everything went crazy. I was like, right, I'm just going to go back and audition. and then my head went, but you left for a reason. You know, you walked out for a reason.
But, you know, that's the beautiful thing about it, though. We're always family, though. It's mm-hmm. the people, you know? So it never, even if you're not doing it physically, it mm-hmm. never leaves, because it's just a part of you, and the people are a part of you.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a, you know, like us, we're talking, like, I just saw you yesterday. You know what I mean? And it's like that everywhere. It's a really beautiful, that's what I was telling somebody before, like, people don't understand the connections you make, mm-hmm. and you can only know that by being in it, like the feeling you're trying to describe, you know?
Yeah.
Even the dysfunction of it all, because you know it's a family, so. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
You know, but you still, you just, it's a, yeah. So that's the thing with it.
It's so like, one thing people don't understand about, I think theater in general, and it does, it's not just attached to this show. I think it's theater people in general. We somehow find a way, we just find each other. We could be at a random party somewhere and, you were in a show? And somehow that buzz creates. And it you could have been in Lion King, you could have been in Cats. There's going to be a connection with theater. But with our show, and you've been involved with our show for a lot longer than I have. In the 7 years that I met people from all walks of life, from all over the world. I'd never even thought that they would take Lion King to Brazil, for example, China. Obviously it's been to Australia and obviously major countries, but you think about the people, the connections, and I speak to some of them daily, weekly. They're there for you. You know, it's family. It's family.
It totally is. It's a connection that you always have. It's special. Mm-hmm. It's very special. I mean, even the story alone is, you know.
Oh yeah.
It's about returning back to who you are. So it's pretty special.
It is. It is. That's actually so well put, returning back to who you are, because I think a lot of us forget that on the journey. And maybe the 7 years of me doing the show and now coming back to sports was the return of the journey. And you know, who knows what's next. So 2020, 2021, even as far as we are, you know, at this point of the year, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody expected this, right?
We're in history books. We're in the history.
You know?
Okay.
It's like at some points, I just had my second shot. Because I told you before, I'm having a child in July, and I want to be in the delivery room. You know, that's why I did it. And some people, there's fights and say, you don't know what you're putting in your body. And I'm like, look, I want to be there when my child hits the world. So I'll do whatever needs to be done for that to happen. But it's also been, it's been a year that's trying on a lot of people. Mm-hmm. How did, you know, 2020, 2021 affect you, changes that you made to your life, you know, without work, because for a large part of it, we didn't work.
Yep. I call it, you know, the pause, because it was just a pause. It was beautiful for me. I know that there was challenges for everyone. The couple things it allowed me to, I'm really busy, and my job is very transient. And so for a year I was able to be with my mother every day. She is has a COPD. Okay. So she can, because of the virus, she could not be exposed. So that means if I was with her, I had to self-isolate with her. Right. And so I was literally in the house literally I was like, oh my God, by the end, I'm like a retired, you know, woman. Cause I would go out to the mailbox and wave at the neighbors. Hey, you know, they would walk out too. It was hilarious, but it was fine. So that was really a really beautiful thing that I would never have done. I would have never been able to have that time, and time is so precious. And so I just respect time anyway in general. So to have that time is, you can't.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can replace that. So that was the first thing. The second thing is I also, I was a dancer. So my whole life has been physical. So I focused on other things. I really focused on my mental, my spiritual wealth, really, really a lot. I did a lot of meditation, a lot of classes, a lot of introspection. And so I went in is what I did.
Yeah.
I totally went in, and in that realizing, now I realize that's where I need to always stay. I can't reach outside of myself for anything.
Right.
You know, I have to stay centered and grounded and allow what is meant for me to come to me.
Right.
And so it, you know, despite it all, for me, personally. In that way, it's been just a really grounding spiritual moment for me.
That's amazing, because I think a lot of people have gotten away from, and we're not talking spirituality just in terms of religion, or, you know, we're just talking about mindfulness and
inner
peace and finding that in yourself.
Correct.
Some of us need to be, as you say, physical. I know I have my own demons. As you know, I struggle with my weight. It fluctuates up and down depending on my moods, and a lot of that is because we haven't had any sports, and because I feel, in some ways, it's the performer in me. Actually, and I was saying this to my players, it's like, when I coach, I get to perform. And they're like, what do you mean? It's like, well, it's, you know, a coach is a character, really. He just helps you along. Or she helps you along.
Mm-hmm.
And part of finding that and not having the opportunity to get that energy out, it affects you in other places. So you start learning, okay, you've got to at least do an hour of something, or got to take a walk, or... And, you know, with my wife being pregnant, it's, you have to walk. You have to go around. And then your connections become interesting. I've spoken more. I've lived in this house where I'm recording from for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more conversations in the 3 years with my neighbor than I did, before this year. So it's amazing how mentality changes, how you
totally
have to center, how you become more receptive to people. Because your reception before, it was... audience and me. You know, I didn't have to interact. I didn't, you know, I interacted with the people around me that I was doing my work with, or, you know, but that's so important, that mindfulness and coming back, bringing my old dance teacher used to say, my old release technique teacher used to say, pull your energy towards yourself. Put yourself towards yourself.
Exactly. You know, exactly. Even when you were saying, that's the thing in physical too, because you're right, we're performers. So you feel this, I have to do this. But the reality of this, first of all, that's where I didn't want to be. So I literally said, I didn't, which is crazy. Like, I was like, I didn't do anything for a while. I did in the very beginning.
Right.
But it was from a space of, I got to keep myself, you know, it was that. And I was like, you know what? Mm-mm. So now I love being physical, but it's because I get to. Not that I have to, I get to, and I'm leading by inspired action. So whatever inspires me is where I move to action, because otherwise it's not, there's resistance to it. And I just don't want that. I want to be able to do things that I get to do, that I want to do, you know?
Right.
And I had to come to that place to it. But it's great. Like, even, you know, I was doing walks because also I had this social distance. So I would walk so much, which I never used to do before, but not just walk. I would walk and be, like you said, mindful, aware. Like, I mean, nature is like, this is a thing I said too. You know how we always say we're one with nature, you know, everyone always says that, right? And for the first time in my life, I was like, I get it.
Right.
I actually get it. Like, I actually am one with all of this, even from watching, you know, trees bloom, trees die, nothing happens. All of that, you know, it's just really like, I'm totally in it now. It's just, you know, even I had this, I say this to people because it was absolutely amazing, but this was very on in the pause. And my mom has this beautiful rose bush.
Right.
And when I got home, they were blooming, and then they died. And she's like, you have to prune it. And I'm like, what? Cause you know, I'm like, I don't know what that, I don't know. So I'm like, okay. So I Google it, and there's all these things like cut the angle, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, but it's okay. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to cut it. But as I'm cutting these things, the stems, I'm nervous because I'm like, I think I'm killing this plant because I'm cutting the stuff off,
right?
I'm cutting it off. And then I'm like, not okay with it, but I just do it because my mom tells me to do it.
Yeah.
And then later on in the season, they start to bloom so beautifully.
Right.
And I was like, if this is not a lesson, sometimes you have to cut stuff off. To You have to let it go for it to grow. Yeah. That is the only way it can grow.
Right.
You can't hold on to it for fear and all of that. It was, and so then this time around, because you know it was a full year, I was able to, because after they bloomed again, I cut them really low. And when I tell you they bloomed even more beautiful this time.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's like, yeah, we are. If you just take a minute and sit and see it, we are so one with it. And you can learn so much from what's right in front of you, living and breathing with you every day.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Amazing. It's yeah. I hate to do it. I hate to quote the show. But
don't hate to quote it. There's good quotes in there now. Good
quotes, you know?
Good.
So, what you're saying is everything exists in a delicate
balance. It and so does.
It's crazy because we, we're getting ready. There's baby stuff all over.
Yes.
And we got, I'm just like you. I'm not a house person. You don't ask me to fix something in the house. It's going to end up more broken than, like, I try to do something to the sink. I'm not going to get my landlord here to fix it because I don't mess that up. for example, painting a wall, it sounds so crazy. It's like, well, it's obvious you've got to do it. But what you're doing is you're layering the old paint with the new paint. And what you end up doing is you're freshening up the room. And what you end up doing is freshening up the environment. I'm varnishing the fence outside. You're freshening it up because it started to wilt. The weather hits it. The cats, we have two cats, so they scratch everything. But what you end up doing is you end up freshening. You end up bringing to life. You end up changing. Because your whole mood, it's funny now, because now I'm like, my whole mood changes now that I can see the freshness of it.
That's beautiful.
Your mood messes with you because you don't see the freshness of it. This room that I'm sitting in is going to be our child's room, and it's so nice and clean and bright. But so your mood changes, your energy changes.
Yeah.
So that quote of the show, it makes sense.
No, it does.
It does, right? It's also been, but 2020 also, I think, if you're a citizen of the United States,
yes,
from 2016 onwards, it's been mad.
Yes. Well, it depends on who you're talking to.
Right.
But
right.
You know?
And yeah. I think one thing that media has done and that social media has done is, I think Mike Tyson says it best, social media has made people comfortable with not being punched in the face. In some ways. And it's also allowed people to punch people in the face. It's, people are not shy to say their points of view, but I'm always, right. I'm the type, come and say it here and let's talk about it. Let's dialogue about it. Don't write me about it. I don't want to know about it. But for American citizens, it's been difficult. If you're a black citizen, it's also been, lots of things have now been more and more highlighted.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, George Floyd's passing, that was just horrible. And, I've never watched the video. I never intend to, because I don't want to go there. But where are you from? Atlanta?
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah.
Right. And that's
I'm from
also,
the South.
You're from the South. So that's, you have a different understanding of, growing up in certain situations and, we can talk about it because I think it's important for people to understand. I don't say everybody's you'd like to talk race and say, no, we just like to talk about our existence, what we've been through, so that you can understand. And if we can relate in the middle, that's great. How was going through first the George Floyd bit?
Mm-hmm.
I know you're at home with your mom, but I mean, you're still going through it. You're still talking to people. I mean, the world's not cut off.
Yeah, no, totally. Thanks to Zoom.
Right, thanks to Zoom. And then the election also is coming up.
Yeah.
And that just looked like a complete circus. Because you look at that country and you think, this is the world's leader. How does it affect, how did your emotions go through that time to where we are now?
Well, I'm a black woman in the world.
Right.
So none of it was a shock to me. It wasn't like one day I woke up and was like, oh my God, this is bad. And when I say the world, I'm not just saying America, because I think people, because I don't know if Americans are more vocal. I mean, you can say what people think of Americans. I don't know, but because I'm American, so I don't have that perspective of how other people see us.
Sure.
But I exist in the world. I travel the world. And so none of it is a shock to me, because it's rooted in the world,
right?
That type of thing.
Right.
So it wasn't a shock to me. It wasn't shocking to me. Mm. I mean, I did speak to my mother a lot about it. Mm-hmm. And she, as being an elder, did feel like it was a difference because of the world was aware.
Okay.
Or not, I don't want to even say the world was aware, because I think the world is aware, but the world was acknowledging it. You know, there was marches everywhere. It wasn't just in America. It was worldwide. And for that, there's a shift in the energy for that. Sure. Do you know? Mm-hmm. That wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that's just my truth in that. It wasn't like a, oh my God, you know, this is, I mean, it happened.
Yeah, because I think that, if I'm honest, I had that kind of reaction to it as well. I was like, all right, great.
Was horrible. It was absolutely horrible, but there's so many horrible things that happen.
Right.
So and not just in America. So
I got a bit irritated with a lot of people, you know, people back home, my home country, South Africa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you want to talk about police brutality. That's a brutal, brutal police force. In some cases, because they've not reformed since the old days,
right?
And irrespective of, you know, what the police force looks like now, you know, they have not reformed. They have not changed. There's things that have happened there. And one thing I'd love to do more of is, yeah, I want to highlight every injustice is incorrect, right? It's bad, across the racial divide, whatever you identify as. But I think what we need to start doing is fixing our own little places before we start fixing the world. I always say to players, if you want to change a situation, you have to change yourself first.
Correct.
Because you cannot go there, and I cannot come to the United States. Let's say I get a job in the States and I go there and I'm like, I'm going to change all of this I've got to look at myself and go, what am I going to change about myself in order to affect the change?
That is literally my quote since, like I said, coming out of this is I need to be what I want to see.
Right.
That is the only way that I can make effective change. I cannot make it outside of myself.
Absolutely.
I just can't. Yeah.
You know,
so I agree with you on that.
And I feel like, and I say great, I don't dismiss it. I'm like, you know what, great, cool, we're putting it out there. But I'm like, part of me is like, why is it, had to go this far before we've done something about it? That's the part that irritated me, and I felt like, oh, come on, we need to do better. We as a people need to do better, and not just black people, white people. We as people need to do better.
Correct. I mean,
the next thing was Asian hate. The next thing was this hate. You know, and we already have a pandemic holding over us. People can't work. People, you know, theater people can't work. That was major for me. Sportsmen got back to work. You know, all these other things. And it's like, well, why are we fighting? What is the distraction here in order for us to micro analyze this situation? Whereas it should never have happened. That man should be with his little baby right now.
Agreed.
And I'm glad it got highlighted, and I'm glad it made it to the state senate or the senate, and they've made a bill about it. And I read today that this guy is trying to look for probation, which is just madness. I mean, you killed a man, so, you know. But we need to do better, and we need to do better as it's some. I listened to a podcast called All the Smoke with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, former NBA players. Okay. And Steven Jackson actually said something very interesting. He's converted to Islam, which is good for him, and that's great that he's found that path. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, a lot of the issue we have in the world is not just that white people don't want to integrate. It's actually sometimes black people don't want to integrate. And that's also the issue. If we don't change, like you say, be the change that you want to see, that you want to affect. And I think that's the moral of that story.
It is. I mean, it, you know, it's just that you have to be what you want to see. And that's why I also say, you know, some people don't want to, I can't make anyone like me.
Right.
I can't make anyone. I don't know. I can't do it. And all I can do is be myself.
Right.
You know, my mother and my grandmother raised me to be proud of who I am and where I'm from, and to respect others. And that is how I live my life. And I can't focus on that other stuff. I can't focus on the hate. I can't focus on, you know, I grew up in the South, so I've seen it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not for me. It's not my, you know, hate think, and all that. It's not for me.
I think that's also the other thing. I think, you know, when you're in a situation and you focus too much on something, you lose track of what you need to be focusing on. And that happens way too much in this world. And you know, all that hate, people, let's just get along. Let's just, you know, and we can agree to disagree. We can disagree. That's fine. But if I walk into a room, I'm not going to change who I am just to fit you. You know, I did that for too long and it drove me crazy. Mm. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm open. I love a discussion and I love, you know, I love all of that, you know, but I think we have to start with respect for one another and each other's differences before we can move to anything else. And that's, I think sometimes that's what's lacking. Like, you don't have to agree with me, but you have to respect who I am as an individual. And who knows, maybe, you know, if we would just open up the dialogue, maybe we could all learn something from each other, you know, but there's such these barriers and labels, and it's just, there's just more divide now than ever, but I choose not to focus on that because, you know, you think what you become. And I just have to stay, like I just said in the very beginning, I have to stay very centered and continue to keep my vibration as the highest as I can, wherever, you know, wherever I am in the day. That's what I'm working towards. And of course, help anyone that I can along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough subject, and I think we'll get there eventually one day, hopefully in our lifetimes. And you know, I say hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, we can all hope.
You know, apartheid had to end, so you know, there's hope. Yeah. There's hope.
Yeah.
So you're a dancer. You started off.
Yeah.
When did you start dancing?
I started dancing when I was 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. At a dance school in Decatur, Georgia. And then I went to a performing arts school, which is where I really started to, I really started to develop the love for it, and thought really was like, it was a passion, like something that I wanted to do.
What drew you to the performing arts or to dance specifically?
It was my mom taking me to the dance class. Really. I mean, maybe that's a good question. I'll have to ask her. Why did she? I think probably because I had a lot of energy.
Yes, she does.
You know what I mean?
She does.
And so that's probably why I have to ask her that question.
I love her, but she made me sweat a lot in rehearsals.
and then I just loved it. It just was so much fun. Mm. I enjoyed it. You know.
Because it's always interesting. Everybody's got, you know, it's funny. Tertia said the same thing. Her mom was the one who put her into dance. And you know, that's what, and a lot of it is, I think our parents subconsciously want us to do the things that they didn't do.
Maybe.
I mean,
I have to ask my mom. I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm sure it's because I had a lot of energy. I'm sure.
I'm convinced it's that. Or they would have put you in gymnastics.
Yeah.
I mean, I played the violin from age 9 to about 6. And I think it's just, you know, one of those things that my parents wanted me to just experience, which I think is great. You know, so I can totally understand, you know, the you know, that kind of push, but you also have to have had love for it to carry on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, of course, she didn't know that I would transition it into a career. You know, it was just because, you know, that didn't seem like a career. It's just something that you do. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, but I loved it and I, you know, and I went for it.
When did you realize, so you, I mean, you went to high school for the performing arts, which I think is great. I just wish one day when I win or make a lot of money, I'm going to open up performing arts schools back home or, you know, get people to just get people involved. Because I think it's not just our show. There's many shows. There's many artists and that, you know, they need a chance. And unfortunately, the government or, you know, the people around it, they cater to a specific crowd. And I think that's unfair. And I think for some artists, and, you know, we were talking about, I have my principal on this show, and we were talking about how many artists, South African born artists, have to go and ply their trade overseas in order to make a living, you know.
Yeah.
And that's tough. So, you know, God willing, I'm going to get there. I'm going to.
All right. Good. Okay. Put that on that vision board. I'll be there.
It's on that vision board.
That's exciting.
Got a few. I've put out some visions and I'm actually ticking them off, you know.
Yeah. That's it.
You know, that's.
That's it.
It's the only way.
Yeah.
You went to high school for the performing arts. When did you realize? Sorry?
No, go ahead.
When did you realize, okay, I'm pretty decent at this. I can.
I don't really remember, but it's been a long time now.
Right.
But I mean, it was maybe, I don't know, during the time, I realized it was something that I really wanted to do. And it was my high school was great. It was, It's so funny because it was so mixed up. Like,
okay.
You know, like even though it was a performing arts school, there was still really smart people. Like it was all connected. It was the athletes, like everyone just kind of got along. There was no like separation.
Right.
From what I remember because you know. I don't know. I mean, during that time, I realized that I really liked it and was able to explore a lot of things because of my school. And I also danced with a company actually, at home, a man by the name of Gary Harrison, who was my mentor. He passed away, but, he had an amazing dance company in Atlanta at the time.
Right.
I think when I was like around 16, I started dancing for him.
Oh, wow.
And that was amazing. Like it was so good. Yeah. And, so that's how I, you know, just found the love for it and
it's because you know a lot of people they find it differently. So I fell into it by chance, for example. I got invited to sing at what became my school, my where I got my diploma. I got invited to sing in a show and never left, and then started the show right after graduation.
Oh, that's crazy.
If I could talk about a 5 to 6 year turnaround, it was mad. Did you then push on to university or did you go straight?
Yeah, I went to, I went to SUNY Purchase.
Okay.
And then, I actually left there and then I went to, Ailey.
Oh.
Yeah. And, I ended up studying there. And I did the certificate program there. Then I was on scholarship there. Then I was got in the second company.
What?
Why
do I not know this?
I don't know. Yeah.
What did we talk about in the years that we were
child? Lord, yeah. You know that's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. So that's that. And then after the second company, that was the end of my Ailey years.
Okay.
And I I danced with a lot of people back then. I was with Ron, his name is Ron K. Brown. He has a company called Evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I danced with him.
Wow. And then,
I danced with a lot. I mean,
you did some companies. I mean,
I did a lot of dance.
You did some companies.
Yeah.
Let me go back to something because it's interesting. You talk about the Ailey. I went to the school in 2000 and I think 7. We went on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just had my knee operation, and we couldn't find anything in the shop for me to wear. And I think it's Leon. What is his surname? I want to say Leon Thomas. He was running the shop. Such a great man. But we used to do Horton technique at school.
Mm.
And
in South Africa?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Listen.
That's great.
I discovered some things about my body. Because and actually, I was thinking about doing it with my players. Like, it sounds weird, but the strength that you get, right? The strength that you get from it is unreal. And it's to me, it's like what you would do with weights, but you're doing things with your muscles that are just the lines. Trying to explain this to people who don't understand the Horton technique, actually, is the best thing to do is ask you, what is the Horton technique? And you have to explain the Alvin Ailey Dance Company and who he was and what his impact is on dance, especially young black dancers. So good luck. Go ahead, show us, tell us.
No. Oh my God.
Put you on the spot.
That's a too big of a question for me. But no, I mean, Alvin Ailey there's actually a documentary coming out. Just saw recently, so people should check it out. I think it's called Alvin, or it might be called Ailey.
Okay.
But Lester Horton was his teacher.
Okay.
And that's what his movement was based from.
Yeah.
I don't have in the history books, but he's a very was a very prominent black man choreographer in the States, mm-hmm. who became world known for his work and his dancers.
Yeah.
You think about that. When my mom would take me to go and see them, just the beauty of seeing all those black people up there doing this beautiful movement was inspiring. And he always says, dance is for the people. You know, it's made for the people, by the people. Mm. And that's the thing. I think maybe now I realize maybe that's why it resonated with me so much, because it's not just about the movement. It's about the human spirit and the person. Like I was telling you before, that is all me, especially as I move in my space now. You know, the work is the work, mm-hmm. and that speaks for itself. But it's the spirit of the person. Mm-hmm. That's what matters. You know, that has to be, you know.
I discovered him late. I have a top, a zip up top. It's somewhere here in the house that I got later on. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're as dark as we are, okay, we just can say like it is, you need idols in performing arts.
Yeah, you know, totally.
He's right up there.
For
what he created, the only person that I'd known that was attached to Lion King that had gone, had danced for his company was Thea. I had no idea that you had danced for his company.
Yeah.
I mean, Thea danced for him when he was there.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Okay, so, you know, rest in
peace, it's a different type of situation.
You know.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It was a huge part of, it's a huge part of my life. Right. In my beginning stages.
Right.
Totally. It totally was. It's funny. I was cleaning out all my stuff, and I was seeing all these like things from Second Company. Oh, so funny, because it seems like a whole nother lifetime. You know, it's so interesting. But it was a really formative time in my life. You know. No, I don't actually. I just wish I was as aligned as I am now then, but that's not how it was supposed to go, you know. Just as I'm not even talking about dance wise, I'm talking about just in my spirit
as a person, yeah.
I get that on this side now, nurturing younger artists, I get it. I get you have to go through these things to become who you are. I can say to you all day long who I see. But until you see that, it doesn't matter, really. You know, I do get that.
I actually take a leaf out of your book sometimes. I tell people that they're wasting time where they are because they're more talented than they are. I remember you said that to me one day. You were like, do you actually understand? And I was like, no. Okay.
No, you don't get it, right? Yeah. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird that someone can tell you that you know you're good and you just are like, no?
Well,
that's so fun.
Yeah, you know,
you know?
For the longest time, though, there was a time because of what I'd gone through.
Yeah.
There was a time as a performer, I was like, nah, you don't have it. You don't have it. And then when I changed company and then had people who were like, dude, like, just shut your mouth. You got it. You're fine. You know, sometimes that's what we need in all walks of life. Sometimes being your own cheerleader is really hard.
Right? Yeah. I mean, of course we all have, I mean, no one's perfect. You are constantly evolving and learning and working, you know, but I'm going back to what I'm saying, like you can't get anywhere without being centered and you just can't, you have to make, you know, that's the first and foremost thing. So interesting. I wish, you know, like they would, maybe they will now teach those kind of things in school for younger kids, because
I hope so.
You spend so much time searching outside of yourself when you're developing for validation or whatever, I don't know. And you just, you know, you're enough. Like you know what I'm saying? Like, to be guided. I mean, yes, you have mentors along the way. That's great. But at the end of the day, you still have to make sure that you're okay with the decisions that you're making.
Right.
You know?
And I think that's also indicative of the Ailey company, actually, is finding that sense of, I think I watched the video of his, when the documentary they did when he died, and leading up to his death, he had done a few pieces on certain people. One rings out was a gentleman by the name of Matsuzumi Chaya, and he talks about coming from, I think he's Japanese or
yes,
from an Asian country, and he talks about how the connection of the conversation, there wasn't much of it, the conversation was dance and the movement of dance, and that's where he found himself through the teaching,
through the movement,
the, you know. And I think sometimes we reject being taught, we reject being spoken to in certain ways, that we don't accept it. And I think that's what you're getting at. It's like, we could say so many things to so many people, but until you bold-faced look yourself in the mirror and say, all right, actually, I can do this. I'm good at this.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. So, yeah. No, even like if you think about Mr. Ailey, like, I can only imagine, I'm thinking about that now, like what a huge impact he's made on the world in his art. And he was probably just being. He was just making his art. There was no, that's why I was hoping, there's no agenda. There was no, you know what I mean? He was just being in his body and doing what his passion is.
Right.
And look what's come out of that. You know, it's just, it's remarkable.
Cause I think,
this a legacy. It's a legacy, it's forever. A legacy.
Yeah.
Forever. I mean, you know, it's great.
We went to the new studio, the one, you know, not the older one.
Yeah, I never was at that one.
The new one?
Yeah, no. I mean, I've been there. I've been to the building, but that's not where I trained all my years.
Because before, man, it was different. But obviously, that's how it is when you're starting a school, you're starting a company, not everything is fancy and you don't have all this money to, and they have a beautiful building now.
Yeah.
And with a little theater at the bottom. We actually performed in that theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Now when I think about it, I'm like, oh gosh, you've actually done some stuff, bro. when you think about it, when you talk about it, because sometimes you're like, what have you done? It's like,
I think that's the thing too. I'm not really attached to any of that stuff as far as like defining you.
Sure.
You know,
it's good memories,
yeah, it's great memories. And I mean, and I'm grateful for it, but you know, it doesn't make you more or less than someone else.
Sure.
You know, it was great. Like,
that makes sense.
It's just like, it's weird to talk about, cause I don't really, you know, it's been so long. Like, it's like a whole nother situation.
You see,
but
you see, when I said we were gonna do a podcast, she didn't realize I was gonna go all the way.
I see. I'm like, oh my, it's fine. That's great. I mean, you know, that is me. It's me.
You know, my thing is to put people's stories out there.
Yeah.
Because everybody's story is different and awesome. Mm. And I think people forget. I think you're looking back at this and talking about being centered, and you're going, hey, actually, that's a big part of, that's a little part of me, or, you know.
No, totally. I mean, I always remember that. That's why I always stay firmly grounded. I always remember the me then, right. Now. That's why even with younger dancers, you know, I may be hard on you sometimes, but I'm very understanding in what you might be going through. Because
she loves you afterwards.
Because I was there. I've been in it. I know what it is, and I don't forget that, and I don't
dismiss it.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's
because a lot of what we do with certain memories is, even though they were there, you remember, you sometimes you don't remember the greatness of what that moment was or those memories are. And this is leading us up to where we come into each other's lives. You started a lot earlier. You know, we forget what those do, because it put, you know, you said you started at ALEE2, and then you did dance for other companies.
Yeah.
And these are all a big part of where you are now, because if you didn't do those other companies and you jumped straight into the show and didn't have these other experiences, maybe your teaching is different. Maybe your centering is different. Maybe your ambition is different. Who knows?
Yeah, no.
When did you audition?
I auditioned for the show in 2000.
So that's the third or fourth year.
Yeah, but I was in LA. Ironically, I was doing a show. It's a long story. I don't really need to go into how I got to there. But I ended up in, because I was doing a show in Vegas, actually. And I ended up auditioning for The Lion King in LA. We drove there. And okay. I didn't know that it was like the finals. So then we came back the next day and blah, 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 whatever. And okay, I can tell the story. So basically, I was doing this show in where I left New York. I left the company I was telling you about, because I was dancing with Ron.
Right.
I left, and it was like the best experience. Like, I loved every single second of dancing with Ron Brown. Every single second. What a blessing. But anyways, I went and took this job in it was, the show was in Vegas. I, like, 3 weeks into my rehearsal period, even when I got there, oddly, now talking about knowing in your inner, it didn't feel right.
Okay.
I wasn't sure that it was for me. And I remember asking that to the universe, right? We were 3 weeks into, so I had already started, there used to be this paper, I don't even know if they have anymore, called The Backstage, where you can look at auditions. And I started looking at the auditions, because something didn't feel right. So I saw the audition for The Lion King.
Okay.
I had friends in The Lion King, New York. You know, I knew it, I'd seen it. Oh no, actually, you know what? I hadn't seen the show. Actually hadn't seen it, but I had friends in it.
Okay.
But I knew I was full out modern dancer.
Okay.
You know, in a kind of elite way, right?
Yes.
So the reason why I auditioned for The Lion King was because Garth was the choreographer. Yeah. I wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Okay.
But anyway, so I saw the audition. I was like, you guys, we should go. Okay. So anyways, 3 weeks into my rehearsal period at this show, the day after, I asked this, like, if this is for me, I'm going to work really hard. If it's not, you know, let it be.
Mm.
They call me into the office, and because I had stopped rehearsing a lot. I'm like, this is weird. I come into the office, and they're like, we're so sorry. We're going to have to lay off 11 dancers. And because you're the last one to come, we can't, you know, very well keep you. So we're going to give you 2 weeks. And then your ticket back to New York, when would you like to go? Now, I've given up my apartment. I've given up my job. I was waiting tables too, I think, but I was also working with a company. I gave up all of that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, but anyways, I don't know in what order this went, but I went and auditioned for The Lion King. And then we had to go back again. And then Mark Lynch, who rest his soul, was with me. And I remember, I think like the next day, he got a call that he got New York.
Wow.
He was going to New York. And we're like, oh my God. And that was it, you know? So I remember going back to New York, literally like went back to the dance company, but of course they replaced me, like watching rehearsals because they were like my family, like,
right,
you know.
Right.
I had sublet my apartment, but I was I was a friend, so I was staying
okay.
there.
Okay.
But I was like, I literally, what's happening? And then Mark called me like 2 weeks later and was like, we want to offer you the show. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was absolutely insane. So that's how that happened.
They and then I you moved. Broadway?
No, I went to LA.
You went back.
I went to LA. I moved to LA. The show was in LA. I did. That's where my first Lion King was.
You did the tour. Was it the tour or was it?
Right? No, it was just in LA. We're in LA.
Oh my goodness.
For 3 years. That was the beginning of my Lion King journey.
Man.
Yeah. And it wasn't. And that's why it's so very interesting because it was just, it happened so. I don't know. I mean, it was just like it happened. And I remember getting on the plane from New York to LA. And I remember, oddly, I got bumped to first class. And I just remember something feeling like
right.
Things are about to change.
Okay. That's, they didn't bump me to first class. So don't ask.
No. It wasn't. This was just the airline. And
no,
I know.
I'm being facetious.
Yeah, no. I just remember. I even remember when they told me, even in that other job, I remember crying and telling my mom, like, why is this happening?
Right.
And I remember she was like, because you're being prepared for something bigger. My mother said that to me. Like, it, you know? It's so very interesting.
It's sometimes when you have this, I've been going through this quite a bit recently, is when you make a complete mental change and your body feels kind of weird and your emotions are all over the place. And you're going crazy. And sometimes that's what it is. You're just being prepared for something new, something different, something.
One second. Sorry. I'm just.
Oh, sorry. Good.
Okay.
Oh, there goes the phone. Something else. And it's like, it's funny because, my journey is totally different actually. But I went to audition. They never come to Cape Town. That's the thing.
Apparently, it's not true.
It's not true now, but when I was auditioning, they would go to Cape Town once every second year or something.
Okay.
So they wouldn't come often. And this was the 1 year. And this was my final year at college. So it's the 1 year. And I'm like, okay, now I don't have any. It was probably my fourth professional audition. The other three I knew I wasn't going to get for various reasons. And this one, it was funny because I saw a long line of people and I saw a short line. And I'm like, I'll join the shortest line. And then somebody came to me and said, are you a singer or a dancer? And I was like, oh no, I'm a singer. Because you don't know what you're going to get yourself into. And I walk in and I have my song prepared. And I sang Go the Distance from Hercules. Because I was like, look, if you're gonna go in Disney, you better wax that thing. Cause. And at the table is John and Clem, and the pianist. It's the three, and it's daunting because the SABC studio where we were in was just kind of this old little building, not much air, not a lot of light, and these two people that you don't know, and then this pianist that you definitely don't know, and homeboy couldn't play my song.
Right.
He couldn't play it. But we got through it. And then Clem gets up and is just like, let's do that again. Can you go? Let's sing. Now I want you to do. And he starts directing me. And from that moment, they started directing me and flew to Johannesburg. The next day I had to come back, spent 5 hours with them. And I'm new to this. I don't know. I'm like, okay, why are you spending? You got to come in and we'll give you lunch and all of this. And I was like, all right, whatever, man. anything to get a day off college. When we were preparing for a show in college, so you can imagine this is not making me very popular at college either. And he's like, okay, John, we go through the whole day, and Marae did the choreography with me, the Simba choreography with me, and she told me stampede a bit. And then John is like, okay, can you come to Johannesburg? And I'm like, okay, I guess I have to. Like, what's going on here? And I go to Johannesburg and meet Hope Maina, who's now Simba. He takes me around Joburg and we spend the whole day.
Oh, that's so cool.
Funniest story is we had to do the choreography, and you know that choreography.
The
reprise. And he didn't come in dance pants or anything. Like, he did in his jeans, man. Listen, I hate to do it to him, but he was in jeans, and I was like, yo.
He
got the job. And that's me. Then I got offered Singapore, and I was making jokes with my friends. As you know, I probably talk more than I need to. And my friends were like, yeah, you know, this is so great for you. You're going to Singapore. And I said, you know what? Guys, I'm going to, you know what? Next call I'm going to get is Broadway or the West End. I'm telling you. Because I was just living out of my head. I was so excited. And Richard Ory, I then had the conversation with the Vegas people because they were running the Singapore company. And Richard Ory called me the next day and offered me to go to London.
That's like, crazy. It's not crazy, but because you, yeah.
I manifested it.
I believe it. Yep.
And then, yeah, that's how. So our journeys are kind of similar in a way, but crazy at the same time. And oh man, and then going in, and you know, we were saying this. God rest her soul.
Yes.
Miss Thea Barnes.
Mm-hmm. Intense.
She's intense, but she's got it. She got that drumstick. Did you hear about the drumstick?
No.
All right. She's teaching a stampede, yo. Like, I'm not joking. She's got a drumstick. And the poor pianist is trying to keep the time. Dun, 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 dun. And that's the timing. Not with Thea Barnes. That's not the timing. Hell no. She's got that drumstick. And she's like two beats ahead, just slapping the table with the drumstick. And we're like, what is going on? And apparently she did it every year. She taught it to you quicker so that when the music was slower. And little did we know, obviously, then there was a button and, oh, man, I will talk about her in a second because I think, you know, we'll talk about it in a second. But you go to Vegas. That was 3 years of Vegas. And then what happens after Vegas?
I was in LA.
Sorry.
Then I actually became the resident of the Cheetah Tour. Which
That's
was
quick.
Yeah, I guess. I became the, no, I mean, I don't, is it? I mean, I don't know, but that's what happened. I mean, it, I don't know. It, that was my journey. I did LA, and then I became the resident of Cheetah.
Right.
Now this was quick. 6 months later, in that job that I was very new at, and you know,
right, raw and young.
I mean, but I was, you know, but yeah. I was only 6 months. Marae right. came and asked me, did I want to be her associate? And I became her associate.
That is quick.
And I flew to Australia to start doing that, like learning it and learning all, you know, that part of it. And I've been, yeah, kind of crazy.
What? That's, yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, I say it's quick, the first thing, because, you know, you do show for 3 years. It just depends on the journey and how they see
it. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, like I said, it's you know, it's, it, I don't know, is it, I don't know.
Because everybody, you know, some people, it also just depends on, I always say this, you know, people get selected for certain reasons. There's something that they see in that person. That's why that person gets selected. To do a certain role, to do a certain job, to do, and you were selected, and you were, you know, and you went to Australia, which is.
I was only there for a couple of weeks, but just to learn, because I went back to Chicago, but that was my first like international trip, which is so crazy because it was in Australia, which is so far, and.
Wow.
But it, you know, it all, yeah.
Because the Australia company is before the South African company, right? That's that time.
Yeah, I think so.
You met a very, very skinny, tiny, young Andile Gumbi, who was probably this thin.
Yeah.
Selo Molefe was probably in that company as well.
He was. It's hard. It's so funny. Sometimes it's difficult for me to, at this point, to remember how I met people or... and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think he was there too.
He was.
Because this is the first one.
Right. It's the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. they basically then they did that run and they went to, I don't know if they went to the Far East first, but they, I know they ended up in South Africa.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is a whole other mm-hmm. kettle of fish. Mm. So from getting on to be an associate, what is the change like now? Because now you're not, is that not dealing with the show on a day-to-day basis, or is it?
Different. Yes, different, because it's not dealing with the show on a day-to-day basis. Okay. You know, it's more of a, you know, a global perspective.
Okay.
And each, you know, that's another thing I've loved about it, because it's also a lesson in cultures and respecting and learning different cultures. Mm. I love that. And understanding, you know, to meet people sometimes, you know, like to be able to communicate with people,
yes.
you have to have an understanding of where they're coming from in their yeah. own perspective, which I think has really helped me. And I absolutely love that. So that is the difference. It's not as you're there every day, you know,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
you exactly. go somewhere and you don't, you know, you, it's not like, so like in, you know, you're in the,
like
it's like we talked about it. I think I remember when the associates used to come for us
right.
and I always look at it. It should be, this is what it should be.
Hmm.
A rejuvenation, you know what I mean? Right. Of just the work and just, you know, make sure everything's okay too, but also inspiring, making sure everyone's spirit is okay
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
You know, every time you go to the different places.
Right. Cause you know, part of that is, like we said before, part of that, there's different factors that go into mm. when the associates come. And also a lot of people start, frankly, people's jobs are on the line, that, you know, that's what it is. And a lot of,
yeah, but it shouldn't be that's the thing. It actually right. shouldn't be, because it should be just, you're just in there just making sure everything is okay. And that, you know, like I said, it's, for me, it's about, cause you know, I did the show, although mm. I had so much fun, like mm. every day, I don't even know. It was so much fun to me,
yes.
but I know it become a routine, especially if you're doing it for a long time. So I think it should be that you rejuvenate people. You have people think differently, because yeah. you are in a day to day thing. Like even right. the resident, if you're a resident person mm. in my position, we see mm. each other every day.
Right. Right.
You know, exactly. It's like, pick that right knee up, you know right, what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
You know, okay. okay. You know, it's like, you know, and sometimes everyone needs like a little lift and a different perspective. Like that's sure. what it should be.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah. Cause I think a lot of, I think people's, what we're talking, and this is, I think the great, one of the big themes of what we're talking about, your center, what, where you are. And I think a lot of people place emphasis in the wrong things.
Correct. On other people and not themselves.
Right. So if you start placing emphasis on what everybody else is not doing, then you're focusing on their job versus what you're, you know.
And you're honestly, though, if you're doing that, you're probably not doing your job either, because
exactly.
you're too focused on other people. If
exactly.
You know what I mean? Because that you how can you fully be present in your own body if you're out here?
Right.
You can't be.
Well, and that's also part of the thing with our show. Our show is actually quite dangerous in some, you know, in some scenes. If you're not paying mm-mm. attention,
mm.
yes, you could fall in a lift. I mean, very rarely happens. I mean, if ever. You know, I did fly like Superman in London because the cables got crossed and I mm-hmm. flew across the stage. These things happen.
Right.
You know, and they brought me down safely. And
yeah,
know,
there. I mean, there's measures taken in place. Right. Lots of
you know, there's things happen.
But yeah, I think totally.
When you're like, oh, the associates are coming. Oh, how do I get along with this person? Oh, I got to make sure that I'm on my best behavior. Oh, I got to make sure I trim some weight. Oh, you know what? You're focusing on the wrong shit. You're focusing on the wrong shit. Just do
totally.
Your fucking job. And I think
just do, yeah.
That's the issue, right? Because I think so much of what happens, and we did talk about this, the South African Airways, that happens as well. It's like, because you know somebody in another company. It's so funny. Somebody knows somebody in the Gazelle Tour, for example.
Yep.
And you're in Hamburg, and it's like, ooh, they were on a warpath here. Oh, they were cutting people down to size. Now, you know how that spreads like wildfire in a resident company. So it's like, okay, we in shit here because these guys are, and then you guys come and you're smiling and happy and wanting to do the be a part of the company.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think, I mean, if that is the narrative needs to change. Sure. I just don't think it should be that. I don't think it should have anything to do with your cutting or I don't know. It's just it's a visit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's work to be done because it's a show. And you, like I said, even in the day to day, you might not realize, you know, something is not how it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
So there's a reminders of that, but it should ultimately be a fun experience, you know? And yeah. So if that is not the narrative, then the narrative needs to be that. There needs to be, you know,
no, that's just true.
How I feel about it.
I think. You will be, like the rotation was different. One group would come 1 year, or you might come 6 months, and you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might come twice in 1 year.
Yeah.
And you can see someone's growth point.
Yeah.
And sometimes people need to be reminded of that. And I think a lot of what happens on the day to day, where you're completely correct, is like an RD will see you every day.
And you see them every day.
And you see them every day. And by the 15th week of the contract, you're tired of each other and you're sniping at each other. But sometimes what do we say? We're family.
No, totally. I mean, you need someone there every day. You know, that's because it is, there's so many variables in it, right? So you need someone to keep it together. And that's the beauty of that job too. I mean, there's a beauty in that as well, because it's like you're taking care of a family.
Right.
Right. Especially. And then when the other part comes in, it's just like your grandmother. I mean, I'm not saying, but you know, it's like a celebration of the work. But you know, there's things that if you're doing it every day, you just always need a different perspective. Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And that's not just with the Lion King. That's the thing. That's with anything, you know, if you're like this, sometimes someone can come in and say, oh, did you think about this? And you'll go, oh, right, that, you know what I mean? It's about evolving and challenging your mental, physical state at all times. Like not just the show, in life. Like none of us are gonna just stand in the same spot. Mm. Oh, you don't want to. I mean, your whole entire life, there has to be evolution and growth, you know? And that comes by different, your different perspectives. Like you just said, I don't know if we even said this on the podcast, but like you cleaning the, you know,
painting stuff,
you know what I mean? That kind of stuff is like, you need all those things. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, again, I think everyone has that their place and to make something so beautiful. And I think and that's the magic of it.
Right.
Of course, there's other things that happen. Everyone is human, but ultimately I think that should be the goal. And like I told you, I don't know if I said it on here because we talked before. We talked a lot before we pushed record. We probably should have recorded it. But you know, it's important for me before the pause, and even more so after the pause, that everyone feels how their beautiful selves, more so when they leave the room for me. Than when they come in. Yeah. I want them to feel more empowered and just as so they can go out into the world with feeling the beauty of who they are. I think that is important. And I think that way, I think the work will speak for itself because the work is beautiful. It's, you know, it's Tony Award winning.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the people who do it should feel as that as well. And I think, but again, I don't think that's just a Lion King thing. I think that's a world thing.
Yes.
I think if you're having a connection with someone, you need to listen to them. You need to see them. You need to make sure you know you're there, you're present. Like I said about time, you just don't, it's not something, whatever, not you going on to the next thing. You're in that moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think whatever that moment, that purpose for that moment is what, you know, is what it, you should let that serve.
Well.
And so, yeah.
So we did talk a lot. So
yeah.
I don't want to keep you too long. I we could go on all day.
Yeah.
But you know, now that you're resident now in London.
Yes, I am.
And we did talk about Miss Thea Barnes.
We did.
May her soul rest in eternal peace. How has it been taking over from her and, you know, what she's built in London? Has that been?
I mean, you know, it's I knew Thea. So, you know, it all was crazy how it all happened. And so it's not really, I've been here. It's not like I don't have a connection to the building because I've been, and actually I was here while she was healing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't really, it was natural how it happened. It wasn't really a like,
one day if this happened, the next
thing. It was because I was already here.
Right.
It's fine. I mean, it's funny. This is something that I actually love about being here as far as in the day to day is that usually, I mean, I am the only Black American. And what's so fascinating about that is you're able to learn all these other, which I already did, but it's just, it's pronounced now. Cause you know, you're like, I'm in the day where, when I was a resident back in the day, it was all American. It was all Americans, you know, and South Africans, but you know, and I just, that's something that I really find to be so special and unique and just learning, really like developing, like learning all about the cultures in a really deep way as not just popping in and popping out.
Right.
Absolutely love that.
That's amazing.
And I'm excited. I'm excited to get back to it in this space I'm in with the cast because, it's just a good thing. It's just a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
It's so like, you know, because obviously in the decade that I've, even when you're not in the show, you're a part of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to, people are like, how long have you done the show? About 15 years. Okay.
Yeah.
It would be, where would I be now? 11? Yeah, if I'd stayed on, I guess 10 or 11 now altogether. You know, everybody's waiting. And I think this is the great thing. I think the energy, I hope I can get to see the show when it opens here up the road. Because that energy that's going to come off that stage is going to be unbelievable. And I think not just because I think everybody's now appreciating what they have. I think we, as the artists that are a part of the show, we're very blessed. I tell you, full houses, almost every night, packed full houses, people coming from all over the world to watch you perform. A lot of other shows don't get that. A lot of other shows close in 5 or 6 months. We're very, very blessed. And I think the artists now will appreciate more what they have. If they didn't before. But they certainly will now. And obviously hot on the presses is that London is going to reopen on July 29th. Is that still a thing? Is that still a
go? It's very much so a thing.
It's still a go. It's still going to happen.
That's, you know, this situation has taught everyone to be flexible, right? But that is the word on the street. That's happening. I'm here and getting ready to start rehearsals. I'm very excited about it. We were going into the cast change before we stopped.
Yes.
So now we'll just start back up with that. So teaching new people. And
how many new people?
Altogether. It's a lot. I don't remember the number. It's not a whole cast. It's not a whole cast, but it is a lot. It's a lot of new people.
So Lise won't be sleeping at night, people. She's a, you know, no, it's 52. No.
It is a lot of people, but you know, it's exciting. I feel, like I said, I'm centered. Right. I feel really good to step back into the space. and to be able to work with such talented people. And again, to just really facilitate a wholeness of being for everybody. I think that's really important. And not from me, from them. I think more than anything, that's so important for people to feel. Like, you see people dance and sing how amazing they are.
Yeah.
They need to feel that for real.
Yeah,
and I want to do all I can to facilitate that, because I think in that the work will even be more magnificent than it already is.
It's,
you know,
I'm sure it's, I think also one thing that one of the positive things that social media does do is highlight the fact that it's coming back and the show's coming back. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of the artists went home, you know, to their respective countries, you know, because, you know, South Africans don't play. We're like, home now.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, which is good. And I think that's also brought a little bit of grounding, because you know how it is with being a theater performer. You miss out on a lot of things. And this is, it's history that, and I think it's great that people would have had their cup filled up of love and gratitude.
Totally.
And being able to be at home and with their families. And, you know, there's been heartache, there's been pain, but there's been a lot of joy.
Yes. It's been that. Life, right? That's what life is. Life. It's all of the stuff. It's all of the life. Stuff. You got to embrace it all. That's what life is. It's not just one or the other. It's all of it, you know, and that's the beauty of it. It's the beauty of it all. So.
So I'm going to ask you, a few questions before you go. Wait, okay. before I let you go, plug your show. I didn't even know you were doing a podcast.
Oh, well, no, I started a new company altogether, but the podcast is called, we'll talk about that. The podcast is called Life, Art, and the In-Between, and it's with my production company, which is Venue Creative House, with Michelle McGivern, Clement Ishmael, and Shelley Maxwell.
Wow. Yep. Oh, yeah, I've seen, so I think I'm following all of you.
Yeah, you should listen to it. It's good.
I need to
get it's so funny, because even me doing this, just so you know, is so, like, I'm trying not to say no to things.
Okay.
And step. So even this, I'm like, cause even in doing the podcast, I was like, I hate it. Cause I don't know. I like being behind the scenes. I actually like it back there, but I'm like, you know what, Celise, just do it. Like, so here I am. So when you asked, I was like, of course I will do this for you.
I was shooting my shot there. I was like, look.
You better be glad you got me now, because a year ago I'd have been like, no.
You'd be like, I'm at home with my mother. Get up. You know?
No, I know me from before that. Like, yeah. No, but now I'm like, you know what? It's okay. I'm good.
My thing recently has been to get more female stories, women's stories out there, because it's great. I can talk sports all day. I can talk.
Yeah.
You know, and that's lovely. But there's a part of me, as you know, I'm very blessed. I love to talk about theater, and I love to talk about these nuances and how these pertain to my life right now, as a sports coach and as a person and soon to be father. And so much of my teaching as an artist has, so much of the teaching that I received as an artist came from these incredible women that I've been fortunate to be around. And I say that, you know, people always say the adage, it takes a village to raise someone.
Yes.
It really does.
It really does. Yeah.
And so I was like, look, I gotta get Celise, because I gotta shoot my shot with this one.
It's good.
And a lot of people are like, you know, but I gotta get Clem on here.
Yeah.
That'll be tough.
No, he'll do it. He's in a good space too. He'll do it.
I'm gonna try and hit him up and see.
He'll do it.
He's going for his time, because he'll have some fun stories. And
of course he will,
And you know, it's Clem. He'll rag me for a good 15, 20 minutes. So, worst questions in the world, because I'm going to put you
on the spot. What do you want to ask me?
I'll put you on the spot.
Okay.
Because I do this with the sportsmen. I get them to name, you know, a team of people. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you work with some people. And if you know, as your show is The Lion King, which three hyenas?
The show I work on. It's not my show.
Sorry. The show you work on.
Yeah.
Sorry, Julie Temel. The show you work on. You had to pick three hyenas straight away. Principals that you're going to put on stage. You're going to give you the business. Which three would you go with?
three hyenas.
I'm good at this. I like this.
Really? You're really going to ask me this question? I'm not answering that. I plead the fifth.
How can you plead the fifth on that?
So I'm not answering it. No one's going to call me. I'm not answering it.
You know how many?
You didn't pick me. You didn't pick me. Uh-uh. I'm not doing it. They're all great.
Any principles?
They're all, nope. Absolutely not. They're all amazing.
Okay, let me say it like this.
Yeah.
Who were your favorite? Who did you love?
I'm not going to tell you my favorites.
I know I was.
I'm not saying it. Well, so it's not going to happen.
Good. I've only had two people plead the fifth with me.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing it.
You good. The other was a sports coach. He was just like, no, I work with too many people. I'm going to get
exactly.
Calls.
I just, they're all my favorites. Actually, you know what? It's funny that you say that, but that is what the beauty. That's why I've been able to do this so long, is because everybody is so uniquely different.
Right.
And so it's just everything's different, and the progress and the talent and so you can't measure, honestly, and this is not a just bullshit. I don't know about
that. No, I know. Right.
But it's you can't compare.
Good.
It's all, you know what I mean? And that is really the honest to God truth, because everyone's just, you know that everyone's just so uniquely different and special. Even with working with people who may not be on a level and seeing them grow, that might be a little bit more nostalgic to me than someone who's just amazing.
Absolutely.
Because of the trajectory, how they evolved.
Right.
So it's, you can't do that.
It's like some I get asked often, you know, who are my favorite Simbas, for example, because I covered them. And I always, for me, the first one that I always saw, and I was blessed to cover him was Andile. And if we talk about just, like, you know, the body and the way he moved, though he used to crack us up, because, you know, he was really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Bless him, he was really strong. And in Wima Whip, he used to do this thing. I don't know if he did it on Broadway, but he did in London. You know, you're supposed to come from behind the plant,
mm-hmm.
and then cartwheel to the next plant, and then scare Pumba, But my man used to do this weird thing where he would jump, like, do a cartwheel but not put his hands on the ground
yet. Mm-hmm.
And then he would push himself off the floor, land on his feet behind the he was, you know, because whatever, to keep yourself fresh, you know,
right? Yeah.
Do you, and one day I used to watch him every day, so watch him do that, and one day he was like, all right. So I was saying before you had to go, he used to do this thing where he pushed himself off the ground and then land on his feet. And I'm standing backstage because I used to do the River Silk.
Yeah, okay.
I'm probably giving things away to people who've never seen the show. You know, it's been around for 20 years. People, you got to go watch the show. I mean, come on. And
they're not going to know what you're talking about, though.
Right. And
so it's fun.
So all I hear, I was watching him, and I walk away for like a hot second, and all I hear is... And like, wait, what the hell? And he had literally slipped on his hand, landed on his shoulder and fallen, and had to get up all in one motion. And I was like, come on, dude, you are not serious. But I was going to say, the one thing that I always found interesting was when Deshaun Young came to London, and we heard because the script is written for an American. That's
right.
You know, on an American voice.
And yeah,
so when
yeah.
he did it, it just sounded very natural.
Right.
You know, he's a special artist as well, but I love Hope, and I love all my other, you know.
That's what I'm saying. So when you ask that question, that's very difficult to.
It's dangerous.
You might can say you're first, like you said, but your best, it's would be difficult. It's just hard.
It's hard. It's hard. But Miss Elise Hicks, I'm so happy that you could take the time to spend with me this morning or this afternoon. And, you know, the sun is coming out.
I know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful here too.
I gotta go get my tan.
All right.
You know, but we're not so far away.
Yes.
So whenever you feel or whenever I can get a visa to come visit, please, the door is always open.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, once this all craziness
once
is over,
once it all blows over.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for taking
thank you. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
So blessed. And now we got each other's numbers again, so we can stay in touch.
We'll do.
And thank you so
much.
You know,
always reach out. Always.
Always. And I'm just so happy that we could do this. I'm bursting with joy. Sound like a little kid again. But you take care, and we'll catch up real soon. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, William.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to that episode. I really hope you all enjoyed it. We enjoyed doing it. We enjoyed talking and catching up, and really loved it. Attached, you'll find the GoFundMe page on the link to the GoFundMe page on the blurb, and you'll see it on Spotify, Apple Pods, Google Pods, wherever you get your podcasts. Your continued support is always greatly appreciated. I will definitely get more theatre guests, and I love talking theatre because it's such a big part of my life. But right now, you know, let's all just enjoy and take in what we can as the world seemingly works towards some kind of normality and getting back into what we've known before. Look after yourselves, stay healthy, stay safe, make good choices, all those kinds of things, and we'll catch you again real soon. Look out for the Rugby Round Unfolds pod with Sebastian Ferreira. This podcast is not a safe space, so it's gonna be a great conversation. I will try and edit it on the fly and get it out as quickly as possible, maybe before the weekend. We'll start pushing a bit more with regards to recordings instead of leaving them for days. Just get them out straight away, so you know that you get the content quickly. But look after yourselves, and catch you real soon.